Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's Sunday, June 14th, 2020. And things are getting back to normal, friends, except for the world's going pretty crazy right now, isn't it? With all these things going on.
To say the least.
At least what's being reported in the news. And, you know, it's interesting, in this little town that we live in, you wouldn't even know that those things are going on if you didn't have a television set. Isn't that true?
That's true. If you turn the media off, it's pretty normal around here.
Yeah, it is. You know, we live in a small town, Stanton, Virginia. That's where the Prophecies of Hope Church is, 1743 West Beverly Street. And if you'd like to join us there for Bible study on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., you're welcome to come every week. And we also have a Sabbath School and Worship, don't we, Ed?
Yes, that's on Sabbath or Saturday, the seventh day of the week, at 9:30 in the morning. We start our Bible study, which is called Sabbath School. And then at 11 o'clock, we have our worship service.
Yes, and it's always good to come together like that. And we love when we have visitors. And on the first and third Sabbath of the month, since all of these restrictions have now been lifted, if you're listening live, we have a fellowship meal. So you could join us for that after Sabbath school. We would love for people to come and visit. And as far as being grateful, you know, we're really thankful to our Heavenly Father for providing this ministry for us, for giving us the church that He has provided. Sometime we'll talk about that on the program. I think that would be neat.
Yes, it
would.
To
give a little testimony.
Lots of miracles
involved.
Yeah,
you know, we could dedicate a whole program to that, especially since June the 10th was actually the fifth anniversary of the Prophecies of Hope Church, as far as the building itself, right?
That's true.
So now, as far as being grateful also, we want to thank Ray Powers for broadcasting this program on New Visions Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. And that's Eastern time. I always seem to forget that for some reason. But you can join us here every Sunday, 7 p.m. And, of course, there is a way to contact us. If you have a Bible question or you have something you want to talk about, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com, or Ed?
And Ed at prophecyhope.com.
And Rick at prophecyhope.com.
So there you go. That's how, if you want to address us personally. If you just want to send a general email, you can send that to office@prophecyhope.com. Now, our website, of course, you can type in the www if you want, or you can just type in prophecyhope.com. And if you type that in, you'll come to our website. You'll find an abundance of sermons. You'll find different topics. You'll find some of the radio programs that are archived there. And you'll get to learn a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. In fact, this is something that we haven't discussed, but I'm going to start posting the Bible study guides on there in PDF form.
Okay.
So you can go online and you can actually look up the Bible study guides and you can get this information in print. You'll be able to print it. You can share it with others. And if you want a hard copy of it, you just contact us. We'll send you a hard copy of it if that's what you want.
Free of charge.
Free of charge. That's correct. So is there anything else before we get started, brothers? I know that we're still in the book of 1 John. This may be the final study in the book of 1 John today or this evening. So before we get started, we need to ask for God's direction. So Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day and for your blessings and watch care over us. Today we come to study the Word, the Bible, and we just ask for your wisdom to give us understanding. May you open our hearts and minds to the truth that we find in it and be able to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So where were we, guys, last week?
I think we ended about verse 14.
Verse 14. Okay. Yeah. Ed, is that where you want to start?
Well, my Bible has a little section from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, verse 21. So I think if we start with verse 13, it will give us a better context.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because mine starts in verse 14.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and that's the thing, friends, just so you know, just little Bible information. The chapters and verses were added later on to help us to be able to find things a little easier. And, of course, some Bibles are divided into paragraphs also. And, Ed, I think that's what you've experienced in your Bible. Mine has the paragraph marker at verse 14. In fact, the verse is, the number is a little darker. So if you have a Bible translation, maybe you'll see some verses that are, the number might be a little darker than the others. This is the reason why. It's kind of to keep a thought process going, maybe the change of thought. Rick, do you have anything about that?
No, I'm using the King, the Authorized King James, mm-hmm. and it actually puts paragraph marks in
okay.
next to the verse where a paragraph supposedly starts. But you have to be careful because these are just the best guess
sure.
of the translators, not the original writer.
That's it. So, you know, we always want to give you a little more Bible study information every week, give you a little information to help you become a better Bible student because we're all learning together. So, Ed, where are we starting?
Let's read the first three verses, 13 through 15.
1 John 5. Okay.
This is the modern King James Version. I have written these things to you who believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us whenever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
Okay. What are your thoughts there? Any thoughts about this text?
Excuse me. It does say if we ask anything, but there's a caveat to anything.
Oh, yeah. What would that be?
Well, it says according to his will.
Okay. Now, do we have a record in the Bible of Jesus praying? And do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so. In the Garden of Gethsemane?
Yes. I think we can find that in Luke chapter 22. Let's take a look at that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. So what's the setting here? You said the Garden of Gethsemane. What is that?
Well, that was a location on the Mount of Olives that apparently it was Jesus' custom to go there and pray.
Okay. All right. So here he is. He's praying. He's in this garden. In fact, my Bible has a little subscription or a subtitle above verse 39 that says prayer in the garden. So, Rick, would you read 39 through 42?
Sure. This is from Luke chapter 22, right?
Yes.
It says, and he came out, and as he wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Okay, so it seems like Jesus understood that if he prayed, he could get what he asked for, but it was all in accordance with what?
With God's will.
Yeah.
You notice what he indicated, that it wasn't necessarily Jesus' will to go through this.
It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus was feeling the weakness of being a human being here.
Yeah.
You know, he realized that, boy, this is a lot that I've got to deal with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not only being a human being, but taking all the sins of
yes.
every human on himself.
Just one person would be enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not all the sins of the people who had lived already at his lifetime, but all of the future sins, the sins of me
yeah.
that I haven't even sinned yet, don't know that I'm going to sin. If I sin a sin and I ask for forgiveness of that, Jesus' sacrifice back then on the cross can cover that sin. If my heart is right.
But it doesn't allow us to be able to continue in sin knowing that he can cover us.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that wasn't the purpose of sending Christ to this earth.
That's right.
His purpose was to restore that relationship with God, the Father of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, according to God's law, the wages of sin are death. And so our sins require this penalty. And Jesus took that for us by dying on the cross. His blood covers our sins. But it doesn't mean that we can continue to live in sin. Right. That wasn't the purpose. It was to help us overcome sin by his life that he now lives, the Spirit of Christ living in us.
Yes, that's right. So when I look at this text again in 1 John chapter 5 that you read, Ed, in verse 14, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So it's got to be according to whose will?
God's will.
God's will.
That's right.
And so, you know, you might ask, well, how do I know what God's will is? Well, first of all, we need to study the Bible to find out.
Yeah.
We've got 66 books of the Bible that tell us.
Right, that tell us what God's will is. We know that his will is for all to be saved, but we may not all choose to be saved.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. And so, you know, you think, well, how do I know God's will? You know, you might say, well, you know, I need a better car because mine keeps breaking down and I can't get to work on time. And you know, God wants you, I'm sure God wants everyone to have a decent job and an income and be able to put a roof over their head and live a good, healthy life. And, you know, that's, I think that's God's will for anyone. But if I pray for dependable transportation versus a 911 red Porsche, which one do you think would come under God's will?
Probably dependable transportation.
Yeah, something that'll get me there.
Most people that would really be stretching their finances or maybe abusing their finances to buy something like that.
And don't get me wrong, there are people who can afford that without any trouble. And if they want to buy one, that's fine. But the point is, things that we ask them within the will of God. And oftentimes, I'll pray for what I personally want.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found myself more and more, you know, as the years have gone by, asking for God's will to be done in these decisions that I'm making.
You know, you're talking about God's will. I believe there's a text in the Bible that talks that God, that it's the will of God that all should be saved.
Yes, I mentioned that just a moment ago, but I didn't go to it. So I know that's in the text, the New Testament.
Is it in James?
It might be. I'm waiting for our chief, one of our chief
Bible researchers.
Bible researchers to give me the green light on this. Where is it?
2 Peter 3:9.
Okay.
2 Peter 3:9. I hope you could hear that voice in the background. It's not a church mouse. That's Mary's wife speaking. I'm sorry. Did that say Mary's wife?
Yeah.
That's Rick's wife. I apologize. Mary doesn't have a wife. She has a husband. And if she did have a wife, she would be breaking God's law. Let's put it that way.
2 Peter 3:9.
What's it say there, Ed?
It says, "The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but he is long-suffering towards us, not purposing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
So that word repentance is a big word.
Yes.
What does that mean?
You know, some people, understanding that, I don't think is correct. Some people may perceive that as saying, okay, I ask for forgiveness for my sins.
Yeah, I'm sorry for what I did.
And that's what we need to do. But repentance is acknowledging you have sinned and then turning away from sin, not continuing in sin.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
Not repeating the same behavior over again.
Right. And does that mean, you know, because of the way I'm built, I have to be honest with you guys. Because of my own selfishness, sometimes I'll ask for forgiveness for something, and I end up doing that again. Does that mean I can't be forgiven again? And what shows whether I'm serious about what I've done or not?
Well, I think my advice or counsel with people would go to God in prayer about this.
Yeah.
Ask him to help you overcome this sin in your life. Be cognizant of it, you know, be aware of it. And I think God is faithful. He will give you power to overcome. It may be a struggle, you may have to work at it, but it can happen.
Yeah, in fact, we have a minute to turn to the book of Romans.
Sure.
Romans chapter 7. And I think, you know, it seems like the Apostle Paul may have struggled with some of these things sometimes. Yes. And let's see, where do I want to begin? How about, and this will help us too, to explain some of these things. Verse 13?
Yeah.
Was that what you were thinking, Ed?
I was saying 10, but that's fine.
Okay, well, let's start in verse 10. Do you have that there?
I do.
Would you read it?
Sure.
Romans 7, beginning in verse 10.
And the commandment which was to life was found to be death to me, talking about the Ten Commandments. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. So indeed the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good.
Okay, hold on just a moment. I want to back up for a minute, because he asks the question in verse 7.
Okay.
He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? And then he says, certainly not. Right?
But I did not know sin except through the law.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So it points it out.
Yeah.
It teaches us.
Yes. It helps me to know. You know, we were talking about these commandments here in 1 John chapter 5. It mentions that a number of times. Right. So continue on there, Ed. I'm sorry.
Verse 13. Then has that which is good become death to me? Let it not be, but sin that it might appear to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, in order that sin might become exceedingly sinful by the commandment. Now we understand how bad sin is.
Yeah, so is that what this is saying? It sounds a little confusing, doesn't it?
It does, but it's really trying to teach us what's essentially what's right and wrong, and how abhorrent sin is to not only to God, but it's toxic to life. Yeah. It really is
that's
toxic
a good way
to
put
to
it.
Life.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Okay, continue on.
All right, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but that I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I know not. For what I desire that I do, I don't do. But that what I hate, that is what I do. If then I do that which I do not desire, I consent that the law, it is good.
Can I read that from the New King James?
Please.
Here's what I'm going to start in verse 15. It says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do.
Yeah. Paul is saying, understand God's law is just and it's right, and actually I want to do it.
Yes, but it seems like I can't.
Yeah.
I keep going back to these old things that I thought I could overcome.
Paul's being real about life.
Yes, he is. He is. Any thoughts, Rick?
Well, just, I think this really resonates with people on a personal level. Because I think we all go through things and we beat ourselves up saying, why did I do that? Or why did I say that? Why did I treat that person like that? Or, you know,
Don't you think it's good to wrestle with yourself like that?
It's great. I think that's God trying to get into our conscience, get into our minds, get under our skin a little bit, and let us know that things aren't right with us.
Right.
And I think that's really positive, because it helps us change. It helps us recognize our need for change, right?
Amen.
And so I just think every one of our listeners can identify with this in one way and to some degree or another. Can't we?
Yes. Oh, I can.
Yeah.
I've met very few people in this world who care about absolutely nothing. There's somebody out there that cares.
You dig
everybody
deep
cares
enough.
For something.
That's right. You dig deep enough. Even if they say, I don't care. You dig deep enough. They eventually will.
They really do. They care about something. So if they care about something, then I don't know. This translates to that. God is trying to get us to care about the things that are eternal, that really matter, the principles of everything in his scripture, right? And that's all boiled down to what's in his Ten Commandments. He's trying to get us to care about those things. And if we can care about those things, then Paul really brings out here, we're going to struggle.
Yeah.
The struggle is good for us because it teaches us what's right and wrong and how to deal with right and wrong and where to turn to have help in dealing with that.
That's it.
Right and wrong.
What the will of God is.
Yeah.
That was the question we asked. How do we know what the will of God is? Well, Paul knew, and here's this godly man that wrote more of the Bible than anybody we know, and he has the same kind of struggles that we have.
Yeah. That's really, it really helps a lot with us to identify.
It does, to see that,
you know, sometimes
who we are.
Yeah, sometimes the Bible's just this book that we read and it's really not that personal, right? Well, that's too bad because there's real people struggling with the same real issues that we have. Now, granted, Paul didn't have to worry about a temptation to steal a brand new Ferrari, okay?
right. But it was a different time. Maybe he wanted somebody's camel. I don't know.
That's it. And so the principles are the same, whether you live 2,000 years ago or today. They really are. It's the same struggles.
It is.
You know, it shows that Paul understood this struggle with sin, but he didn't give up.
Yeah, let's keep reading that. Would you keep reading that account, Ed?
All right. Verse 17, but now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I do not find.
Hey, can I stop you right there? Let's go back to verse 17. Verse 18, it says, for I know that in me, that is inside my flesh, dwells no good thing. You know, this is a critical point for the Christian mind. Mm. Because the other religions in the world, they want us to believe that there's something good inside of us. And all we have to do is water that and feed that. And somehow we're going to become this beautiful plant or flower that's grown out of the goodness that's within us.
That's right.
But the Bible teaches something completely opposite than that. And here's one of those texts that proves it. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Mark, you gave a message where you used a text that said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Jeremiah, yes.
Yeah, that's in Jeremiah. And so God knows when he's talking about, when he calls us out about there being no good thing in us. Mm-hmm. And Paul really sounds that down right here. The goodness comes from God, and it's through Jesus Christ, his son, that we get that goodness.
Amen.
In this same verse you're talking about, Paul is saying, I want to do those things, but how to perform that which is good, I don't find a way to do it.
You know, I think...
Don't we all find ourselves there at some point in our life?
Yeah, even the person that knows nothing about Christianity, mm-hmm. they have an influence from God that really leans them in a direction towards what's right, even though they don't know any of God's commandments and never heard of Jesus Christ or anything like that. There's a sense of right and wrong that we can get from God just influencing our minds. Of course, we have to remember there's the devil and his angels out there in the spiritual realm also that are trying to influence us. Mm-hmm. So we can't rely on our own understanding for what's right and wrong.
Right.
We need to get that from God.
That's correct. And, you know, most of the laws of the land typically that you live in are built on those principles of not stealing, not killing, you know, obeying those laws. They're usually built on the principles of, unfortunately, sometimes those laws are changed. You know, now we have to where it's legal to murder a baby that's unborn in some places. But, you know, if we stick with what God has put in his commandments, life is so much better. Hmm. And so here Paul is, he realizes that within himself, there are things that he wants to do that are against what God wants him to do. And he's having this struggle back and forth.
That's the sin in his flesh.
He
says, nothing good dwells in me.
So you want to continue, Ed?
Sure. Verse 19, for I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working it out, but sin dwelling in me. I find it then a law. When I will to do the right, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin being in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
What are your thoughts, Rick?
Well, we can't just leave it there, no. Because Paul's going to give us the antidote,
right,
to the all the garbage we find inside of ourselves, right? Our selfishness, beating ourselves up like Paul does. Why do I do this stuff? Why do I say these things? Why do I have these attitudes?
We inherited this law of sin from Adam that dwells within us. And we have this external law of God that's outside of us. Just think of the emotions that dwell in us. What am I going to listen to? This external law of God outside of me? Or the emotions inside of me, this law of sin that dwells in me? What am I going to obey? What am I going to listen to? Obviously, what's in our hearts, we listen to more than something external. So it has this power over us. And so Paul says, how am I going to deal with this?
My question to you, Ed, is why is this important? And I think we've been over and over. I can help you with the answer. I think you know the answer. And that is, someday there's going to be no more sin. God's going to do away with all the sin. So if you and I still want to be sinners, if we want to cheat and kill and steal and all these things that are against God's law, that's going to wreak havoc in a place where nobody else is doing those things. So to put us in a position where God can save us into his kingdom, he really has to get us to a place where we overcome all these things, where we're not fighting anymore with this law that's within us,
yes,
that the sin,
yes,
right? We're not fighting with those things, right, anymore, because we've overcome all those things.
Yes.
We're going to get to that point, and that's when God can save us.
Right.
So this law within him could not be God's law.
No.
In fact, you know, back in, and I don't want to derail us from what we're talking about, but when you talk about the sin within me,
yes,
that Paul said, you know, there in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, God is actually addressing the serpent, Lucifer, after he fell, when he talks about you were in Eden and every precious stone was your covering.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on and he talks about how this devil was an anointed cherub who covers.
Where are you in Ezekiel?
I'm in Ezekiel 28. Thank you, Ed. Ezekiel 28 and verse 14, it says, you are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity, that is sin, was found in you.
Yeah.
The sin is in him. And this very being, this devil who has sin in him, is that spirit that wants to get in you and push out God's law.
Mm.
So, you know, look, we've talked about this before. You can either have the spirit of Christ in you, or you can have another spirit in you. And what Paul is sensing here is there are times that I don't have the spirit of Christ in me.
Mm. Yeah.
There are times that I want to do what I want to do, and that's not, there's something else that's motivating him. So let's continue. If you don't, I just wanted to go there because I when you said sin in me, it just reminded me of that being in the devil himself.
You know, there's so many things tied to this. It's hard to know where to go.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember, God has a solution to the problem.
Yes.
And it's through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the new covenant. And that new covenant writes God's laws in our minds and hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have another law within us to help us, gives us power to overcome this internal law of sin.
That law of sin, right. Yeah, because Adam passed on the sinful nature to us, that's all we have to deal with unless we allow God to change us.
Yeah.
So, Ed, you said a phrase, it's a Bible phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to at least define it maybe in a way that we can understand in normal language or everyday language. You said, that the law, God's going to write his law, David puts it, in our inward parts, or the New Testament puts it, in our hearts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So to me, on a personal level, that means God is going to change my desires.
Yes.
That's really what it means. In other words, now the desires of my heart are going to be according to God's will. That's his law.
But you have to allow it.
Yeah, you got to allow it. You got to choose it. You got to pray for it.
I would say, I don't disagree with what you said, but I think the way you said it sounded like God is taking over your life, and that's not it. He's giving you the power to choose those things. He wants, I don't know how to say it,
Well, let's go back to Paul.
All right.
Remember, Paul said, the things that I want to do,
right,
I don't do those things. Those were the good things from God's law.
He's enabling you to do those things.
Yeah. So somehow God puts that power, and I'm not sure that we know what that power is. Yeah. We know that it comes through Jesus Christ. It's got to be some sort of a willpower, some sort of a thing that helps our character choose what is right rather than choose sin. Yeah.
That's what causes it, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really an influence from God, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the presence of him and his son that really can be with us and really, I don't know, give us the desire to do something different than what we've done before.
You've got to remember, God created us to live a life free from sin.
That's right. That's how we were created.
That's how we were made. We weren't made to live life like this.
Mm.
And now he's trying to restore that through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's it. And I hope that to the listener this makes sense. I mean, most people recognize if you've had a Christian background, most Christians would say, well, yeah, Christ had to come and die for my sins and this and that. But there's so much more involved than just him dying for your sins.
I think Ed should read verse 25. Of Romans 7.
Okay. Have we got that? Has he got that part?
We did.
Okay.
He read, I think you read verse 24.
Yes.
But then you need to continue into chapter 8.
I'm going to start with 24.
Okay.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Okay.
That's a summation of what we just read in chapter 7.
Uh-huh.
But the antidote starts here in chapter 8,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does. And we've been there a lot. But it's something people need to understand and know. It's the beauty of the story of the gospel. It's the beauty of the story of Christ giving his life for us, not just to forgive us our sins through his sacrifice on the cross, but to enable us to overcome sin in our lives. That's the whole purpose of the gospel story.
Right.
It's not to continue to live in sin.
That's right. So the point is that in 1 John, that's what brings us back here.
Yes.
What we were reading in 1 John chapter 5 brought us back here. Because what was it that we read there? We read in 1 John chapter 5.
We were reading... What is God's will?
What is the will of God?
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, he says, anything you ask according to his will, he hears us.
So if I ask God to help me overcome a certain sin in my life, is that according to his will?
Well, God wants all to be saved. Didn't we read that?
Yeah.
So yes.
So if we ask things according to the will of God, and God's will is for our best, for our betterment, for our good.
Right. But I also don't want the listener to get the wrong idea. It's kind of like the guy that says, keep in mind, if we're going to ask God to help us with something, he has to know that we want to be helped. It's kind of like the guy that says, I'm going to get me a new job this week. I'm going to find a job and I'm going to start making some money. And he's sitting on his sofa watching TV and eating potato chips and drinking soda and not even checking for a job. And, you know, hey, I prayed to God. He's going to provide me a job, but he never asks anybody or talks to anybody. We have to be proactive in those things.
God desires a relationship.
Yes.
That means both are active in the relationship.
Yes, that's right.
It takes both parts to be successful.
Make a relationship. Yeah.
That's right. A great point.
So that you want to continue on, Ed?
Where we can in Romans 8.
Let's go just a little further and okay. See how this turns out.
All right. So we're talking about this law of sin that Paul is experiencing that dwells in him. So let's see what his solution here is.
And we're talking about what is God's will for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So verse 1 of Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, Paul talks about this law in his flesh, the law of sin. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus?
Well, the life in Christ Jesus, the Father gave
yes.
Christ life.
And the Spirit of God dwells in Christ.
Yes.
So what is his law?
It's his character.
How is it expressed in the Bible?
Through love. What did God do for us? He sent his Son so that we could have eternal life.
But it's also written down, isn't it?
It's written down
yes.
as 10 precepts or 10 commandments.
So the law of God in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's not what people are taught.
No, they're not. They're taught what the law's been done away with.
But it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of God, makes me free from the law of sin and death. Remember the new covenant?
Yeah. That the law would be written in your heart, right?
Yeah, it's not external anymore.
Now it's internal.
Through Christ, it's brought internally into my heart and mind to give me power over this law of sin that I inherited from Adam.
And Paul understood this.
Yes.
And it appears from when we read 1 John 5 that John understood this.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I know we keep going back there, but that's so important to understand.
Well, I mean, this is over and over throughout the Bible. Yeah. You know, we'll see this. And there's a lot of other topics we will be discussing as these weeks go on. But in 1 John, there just seems to be this theme
yes.
that keeps coming back.
And John, at the beginning of this book of 1 John, says, I want to tell you what Christ told us.
That's right.
It's not from me. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Did you have a thought, Rick?
No, I'm just going back to 1 John chapter 5
okay.
and just starting to reconnect with that chapter again.
Okay.
Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 5.
Okay.
Kind of brings us round about. If anyone see his brother sin, a sin that is not to death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for those who do not sin to death. But there is a sin to death, but I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not to death.
Okay, now, not too long ago, I had somebody, and I think you guys might have been present for that, that said, so there's a sin that does not lead to death, according to this verse. Do you remember that?
I think so.
What is that talking about? Doesn't all sin lead to death?
Yes, all sin leads to death, except there's an exception, and that is, a forgiven sin doesn't lead to death. But that means the doer of the sin needs to ask for forgiveness and with the right heart also.
And repent.
Yeah.
We can't forget. You know, this is the thing. I ask for forgiveness all of the time. But I have to be honest. I don't always repent. I don't always, I have to stop doing this.
Yeah. This is the struggle that Paul was talking
That's
about.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
That's what we all experience. But he says the answer, the solution to the problem is having Christ in you, who brings the presence of the Father with him, that brings this law, this new covenant law within our hearts and minds. So we can understand that we want to obey God's law. And through Christ, we have the power to be obedient.
Yeah. Very good. Any thoughts there, Rick?
Just that, you know, repentance is about having the right heart with asking for forgiveness. Because your intent is that I recognize where I've went wrong, where I've gone wrong, and I don't ever want to do this thing again. That's what repentance is about. It doesn't mean you're never going to fall again, but it means your intent is to never do these things again.
Right.
That's what your intent is. And to rely on the power of God so that you can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a response to God and His love towards us.
Yes, it is.
By God loved us first. And that His love is shown through this offering, this gift of His Son, His death on the cross, and then His life that can now live within us through the Spirit of Christ. When we respond to that love, it brings love from our hearts, a love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Look what they did for me.
I know. It's beyond my comprehension.
Who on this earth that you know would love you that much, that knows the innermost secrets of your heart?
Well, that's the thing. If they knew the innermost secrets of my heart, they probably wouldn't like me very much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately.
Because a lot of times I might be thinking something different and acting completely contrary to what my inner feelings are. I'm just being nice because I don't want to hurt somebody or do something. But the changed man, see, and that's the struggle Paul had. I've got this feeling in me, but I'm not acting it out, but I might as well be if I'm thinking it. So I have to change from inside. I have to change from inside, and there's only one way that can happen.
Let's go to verse 18 in 1 John 5. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not continue to sin, but the one born of God guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. Didn't we talk about that, Rick, last week, being born of God, your story with Nicodemus?
Yeah, it was a week or two ago.
Yeah, and what we're really talking about is the inward change, just like you were saying a minute ago, Mark. There has to be some sort of change inside of us. And I think when we were reading in Romans 7, those changes were taking place. He recognized those changes in his life because he was wanting to do what is right, but just couldn't accomplish it on his own.
Yes.
So he's trying to change, recognizing he has a need. And I think that resonates with all of us. We have some sort of need to change away from the ugly person that's intrinsic within us into something that God's will, where God's will is being worked out inside of us. So to be born of God, that means some change has happened. And, you know, we might characterize it as the born again change.
Yes.
Now, a lot of denominations would say that happens at your baptism, or that happens when you accept Jesus Christ. But it seems like this was a real struggle for Paul, and it's probably a real struggle for most people to have this change happen in their lives. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that something that just happens in the blink of an instant of an eye or something.
I would say when you receive Christ in your heart, when you get baptized, it's the beginning of a new life.
Amen.
In Christ.
Yeah.
It isn't completed there. Everything's not accomplished there, but it's the beginning.
That's a great point. And we learn that with many examples in Scripture. What are these struggles that all the patriarchs went through?
Yeah.
You know, David wasn't perfect the day that he was called to be king.
Right.
Or, you know, Moses, he had his struggles too before he ever led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, right? Through God's providence. And so it's a process that we go through. The point is, let's stay on point with that process.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving forward. Keep having a relationship with God. Keep opening the Bible day after day, developing those character traits that God wants to see in us.
And learn what the will of God is.
Yes. And that's the change that comes about. That's the born again experience.
Yes. And you know, here's the thing, Ed, you mentioned how, you know, being, that's the beginning of your walk when you're baptized. You know, you've heard me use the phrase, well, when I was a baby Christian.
Uh-huh.
I don't mean when I was a baby and a Christian. I mean when I first learned what Paul calls the milk of the word. Let me show you. This is in Hebrews chapter 5. This is interesting. Hebrews 5:12. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." What does a baby eat? It doesn't eat solid food.
No.
Right.
It drinks mama's milk, right?
Right.
And then sometimes they'll put them on a very soft mush or some kind of a vegetable.
Ooh, baby food. Yummy.
Yeah, yummy. And then, so he talks about this needing milk. He says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And that's a baby Christian. We're just learning. And he's counseling these people that you've stayed there. Yeah. You need to come out of that.
Yeah.
And he says in verse 14 of Hebrews 5, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Go ahead, Rick.
So we were talking about the born again experience.
Yes.
And Ed, you said that's the beginning of your Christian walk, right?
Yes.
Right? Doesn't that make sense with the analogy? Because when you're born, are you born a full-grown human being?
No.
And you know everything in life and you can go right out and drive a car.
Well, that's why Nicodemus could understand that.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Nicodemus. He should have, though, because he had all of that information there.
Right.
So Paul's counsel would have applied to him.
When you're born again, you must be pretty much a baby Christian, right?
Yeah.
And so you start out with the things in Scripture that are easy to understand, and then you grow. And it's like a relationship. When your relationship grows with Christ and with our Heavenly Father, then you grow up, and your born-again experience is just the beginning of that.
Yeah, and it's a continual growth. It never stops until Christ comes. And even then, I believe we'll be learning about God for eternity.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So, you know, you read there in 1 John chapter 5, Ed, it says in the New King James, verse 18, it says, "We know that whoever is born of God," this translation says, "does not sin."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I consider myself to be born again or born of God, but I still sin. What does this mean? Does this mean that can God get me to where I don't sin? Can I get to that point?
That's the purpose of Christ coming to this earth.
Okay. How does that look, though? I mean, how do I get there? Because I haven't got there. I can tell you right now. And I think you guys that hang around me all the time, you know I'm not there.
Well, I think it's a struggle we all have. It's a continued struggle. And sometimes we may not see how that can ever be accomplished in our lives.
Mm. So let me add just a little bit different nuance to this.
Okay. Sure.
So let's say I'm at work, okay? Mm-hmm. I've worked for the same contractor, the same gentleman for 25 years.
Wow. You're old.
Almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years next month. And I told him, if I'd have known I was going to work for you for 25 years, I had to ask you for a 401k on the first day of work. And he laughed when I told him that. But look, my job for him, I don't, in fact, I told my wife the other day, I don't show up to work just because I want to work for him. I show up to work because he pays me.
Right.
Okay. That's why I go to work. So when I'm at work for him, anything that he wants me to do within reason, I'm pretty much expected to do.
Sure.
And that's the contract we make. That's the reason that he pays me, right? At the end of the week.
Sure.
So if he's standing right behind me and he's telling me everything I need to do with my job, and I do everything like he tells me, I'm not going to make a mistake in work.
Right.
It's the same thing with this concept here in Scripture. If we have Christ Jesus in us 100% of the time, and we're listening all the time for the impulses that Christ gives us, for the inclinations to make right choices all the time, there's no way that if I have Christ with me 100% of the time, that I'm going to sin.
Okay, that makes
because if I'm listening to him 100% and doing whatever he says, there's no way I'm going to sin.
See, that's why Paul says it's by faith.
Right.
It's not faith in myself.
Right.
It's faith of Jesus inside of me.
And see, the problem that we have, every single person on this planet has, is we're so distracted by everything. Everything distracts us. You know, because of life, or whether if I'm driving to the store, I'm thinking, you know, well, I have to go to the store and pick this up. Well, if I don't keep that on my mind, I might forget what I came here for. So I'm distracted by that. So somebody pulls out in front of me and I make some horrible gesture or say something I shouldn't say to them. Well, guess what? It's because I've taken my focus off of, and that's what the devil loves. He loves us to take our focus off of Christ and put it anywhere else.
That's right.
Anywhere else. And so we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We have to remember how he lived his life. We have to pray that in those moments that we won't forget who our exemplar is.
You know, some of those experiences, even though it may be failure on our part, it can be a learning experience.
Sure.
It can open our eyes to see who we really are, and you can make a decision. Hey, I don't like who I am. I want to be someone different.
Yeah. So, in other words, we can't get ourselves to where we don't sin, but God can get us to the point through his son, Christ Jesus, that we don't sin.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, and like I said, especially my wife, everybody that knows me knows that I've got a long way to go. But I will tell you that if you would have known me 25 years ago, you would say, wow, you're a completely different. People that meet me now that knew me then say, you're not the same guy.
Well, praise God for that.
Amen.
But your desire is to get there.
I want to be there. Absolutely.
Yes.
I do. I mean, I know how Paul feels. You know, he's got this will to want to do the will of God, but for some reason he's getting in his own way. And you read verse 18, which says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So in other words, if Christ is in you, there's no room for the devil to be in you.
That's right.
Ed, you said this was a faith issue.
Yes.
That's what you said. In other words, we got to put our faith in God and in Christ to do this work in us.
Even when it seems impossible.
Even when it seems impossible. Mark, you mentioned the other day during your sermon that at one point in your life, you used some pretty rough language.
Yes.
And somebody told you one time that someday you'll overcome that. If you just keep putting your faith in God, you'll overcome that.
What he said was, if you slam your thumb with a hammer, you won't even think of saying a curse word. And I laughed at him. And I said, that will never happen. I mean, I busted out laughing. But in time, it got to that point. Right. And I would have never believed that that could have happened. I never thought that was even possible.
That's the power of God.
It is. It's pretty amazing. And now when I hear those type of words, it's very offensive. Mm-hmm. You know, if unfortunately where I work, you know, the guys have, when I'm around at least, they control their tongue. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that, you know, because it's really abrasive when I hear those things. We've got just a few verses, guys, and we've got just a couple of minutes.
Right.
Do we have time to finish this chapter out? You want to?
I think so.
So Ed, you want to continue reading verse 19?
Yes, I'm going to switch to the King James Version.
Okay. And it says, 1 John 5:19.
And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen.
So what's this mean to you guys?
Well, it reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Can I just read it real quick?
Yes, please do.
Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may also be glorify you, even as you have given him authority over all flesh, so that he should give eternal life to all you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Amen. Hey, that's a great way to finish a study of 1 John, isn't it?
Yep.
The same John that wrote the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So next week we'll pick up in the second epistle of John. Does that sound okay to you guys?
Yeah, sounds wonderful.
And there's only one chapter there, so we might be able to get through that in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, maybe.
So we need to close with prayer. So Rick, would you do that for us, please?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for life itself. We thank you that you love us so much that you want us to be in your kingdom for eternity with you. And Father, because you've loved us and you've sent us your Son, Father, it's by faith that we can accept these things, put these things into practice that we've learned today, and welcome the presence of Christ into our lives. Help us with that, please. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So thank you, brothers, for this study. Again, we want to thank our brother Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to broadcast here on New Visions Radio. We hope you join us again next Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.